Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Dr. Gertrude, who stands at the forefront of coaching and education in holistic women's development, parenting, self-love, and relationship fulfillment. As the visionary behind Rewrite the Mother Code, she inspires women to embark on their unique paths of personal transformation, drawing on her over 25 plus years of experience in empowering individuals, couples, parents, and families towards fulfillment and living their best lives. So whether you are a mother or a business owner or somewhere in between, this podcast episode is going to be your jam. So welcome, Dr. Gertrude.
Thank you, Rachel. It's such a pleasure and honor to be on the show today.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we can read our bios and you got such an incredible story and you have so much on deck. And I'm just so excited for our conversation. But I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about you and the backstory and what led you into the works that you do today.
Thanks. Because, yeah, you know, when we look at our resumes or something like that, it's like, wait, you went from a finance and accounting major to an economic analyst to coaching? Like, you know, how did that happen? But really, this short story was really starting on my own journey of growth and development very early on when my husband and I got engaged. We got engaged in 1989. We're coming up on our 35th wedding anniversary. My boss at the time, when I was working as an economic analyst, he's like, here I am, newly engaged, coming into our little office. And I'm like, I'm engaged. He's like, best advice I can give you is to do premarital counseling. Because he was going through a divorce. So he wasn't real keen on marriage at the moment. But it was great advice. And somehow, despite that not being my world at all, or even knowing anything about coaching, wasn't really a thing then. So it literally was couples therapy, counseling, that there was just something that clicked, right? We both came from divorced parents, alcoholism in our systems, affairs. You know, it didn't take much to look at. And I haven't even really explored, but just even a little bit of a reflection would say, wow, if these were the people I spent my life with and learned about relationship, I bet there's things that we could learn. And I really don't want to end up how they ended up. So, and then second miracle was my husband, after a lot of skepticism and kind of he came and we had a really moving, beautiful experience of, wow, like this will be really helpful. Set a vision for our marriage, start exploring our family dynamics. And so that, you know, we both ended up from that moment, you know, varying degrees over the years in the coaching world, right? So in that, like, it really makes sense. And that's what this couples coach said, you know, I'll support you through your wedding. That'll be the kickoff to your marriage. And then really the best thing you can do is work on yourself, right? And do your own deep work, your own, you know, work and therapy. And we did, you know, and there have been ebbs and flows, but I can promise you, Rachel, we would not be married had we not. Like, those patterns were so strong. And we like to think like, oh, it'll be different. I love this guy. He's amazing. You know, it was all waiting in, like, just waiting to happen, right? That kind of wiring and programming that we get. And even in the best of circumstances, you know, no family's perfect. There's always some level of dysfunction, and that's okay, right? Like, I know my husband and I joke, you know, well, we'll start a college fund for our kids, but we'll also set up a therapy coaching fund as well. Because listen, like, even with as far as we got in the kind of work that we did, it, you know, there's no way I would sit there and say we did anything perfectly. We had, you know, a lot of room for improvement, but they can stand on our shoulders and hopefully break some, you know, generational trauma patterns, you know, and that was our hope. So as I was continuing in that world, in my economic analyst world, just kept doing my own work, but then, you know, started supporting other people. And that was the part of my job that I liked, because believe it or not, like even as this economic analyst, I was working with people on personal injury and wrongful death and experiences. And I like talking to them. I like, you know, I was kind of sideline coaching in some ways, you know, sharing what I was learning and stuff. So I ended up pivoting after my second daughter was born. I took time off and then decided to, you know, really start pursuing more of that personal supporting me, you know, going directly into that. So two master's degrees and a doctorate focusing on, first one was focusing on family, maximizing the potential in a family, couple and a family. But my doctorate, then I decided to pursue, that was really about, because when I became a mother, I started out like, wow, this is going to be an amazing experience because it's going to stir up so much great work for me and I'm going to keep developing myself. And I did for about a little ways into my second daughter being born. And then I was like, I just avoided it. You know, there were things that went on, and that's something I share about and write about in my book. But it's a, you know, there's such beautiful journeys, and I just wanted to support people, women, in having a transformational opportunity in mothering, which then led me to expand the definition of mothering to include all women, right? Because I realized, you know, really strongly as I was studying and working on my doctorate that, wait a sec, like, this isn't just about women and children. And yes, that's its own unique experience for sure. Just like if someone's never started in their own business or been an entrepreneur, like that's its own unique experience, right? And you know that from your experience. But there's so much crossover. There's so much more similar than dissimilar, because the minute you have employees or people on a team, they're your children. You know, you're nurturing a business. We talked ahead of time about writing books, and I can promise you that is such a parallel journey to birthing a child. So I really wanted women to see how we connect, how much more alike than different we are, and to stop siloing ourselves or judging each other for our choices in mothering, and really claim that we all do it and how can we support each other. So that's the long, short version.
I love it because you've really given us a well-rounded version of your experiences and just your passion and your heart and why you do what you do. And I think that that goes through with all the works that you do. I mean, you have this book that is all about feminism and mothering and bringing that into light and talking about rewrite the mother code. That's like through this evolution of your own experiences and recognizing that motherhood isn't just for those that have birthed children, but it's for all women. And I wrote that down and I was just like, wow, that's so profound, because, you know, how many of us look at our life and just feel, whether or not you have children, am I a mother? Or maybe you've created businesses, and does that mean that you are not a mother of a business? And so I think from my perspective, where you really touch upon, and we talked about this before we hit record, is that for me personally, I've always felt kind of inadequate, like I wasn't equipped because I did not birth a human child. But yet, when I get asked that question, are you a mom? And I almost feel like this little bit of me kind of sinks, like, no, I'm not. But I'm a cat mom of three, and I have multiple businesses and a husband who sometimes feels like a child. And, you know, like, we got all of these things, even mothering ourselves. So, and I think that
that's. Oh, you hit it.
Yes, right? Because it's like, we, our attention and our love and our nurturing and all the things that go into, if you want to just put it from mothering children, go into all those things. And you talked about with teams and your employees. And so we have so much to give. And it feels like with women, is it ever enough, right? Like this, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels like you give too much, but is it too much or is it not enough? Because it's like, what it feels like inside, if we get that joy and that validity and knowing that our love and our nurturing and all those things that are mothering are going towards the right things. And I think that that's something to definitely think about too. But yeah, you're the queen here of motherhood. And I would just take on that.
You touched on something that, you know, when I share with it, you shared with you earlier about how we all mother, we conceive, create, give birth to, yes, children. That's one of the ways we literally can mother, but ideas, dreams, careers, pets, you know, all of that. But the most important person we need to mother is ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I shared that I have a TED talk, TEDx talk coming up, and it's really one of the points, like the idea that I really want to emphasize in that talk is there's evidence, it's evidence-based that, you know, when women mother themselves, and I like saying it mothering with a capital M, because I want it to go beyond basic needs. You know, there's certain things that, yes, we need baseline self-care, but this is, you know, doing deep work and transformative work and courageous exploration. If spirituality is a big part of your life that you're really digging into, when we do that, everyone around us benefits. When we don't, actually they suffer, you know, but we have this thousands of years of cultural wiring that really our job is to just give selflessly and just give of yourself and don't expect too much for you. And your reward is that the people around you have been so given to. And it doesn't prove out the data, right? It just doesn't, you know? I mean, and you'll hear like cute sayings, and I do agree with them, you know, happy mom, happy wife, happy life, happy, you know, mother, happy, you know, everyone, but we still don't believe it, right? Like it's just so wired in there. And I mean, I've had women mad at me, like, no, that's not right. Like, no, my children have to come first, or my business comes first, or my husband comes first. Like, no, that's just selfish. That's selfish and wrong. Like almost like it's a sin, you know, to do that. And I think, you know, that shows how deep that wiring has been embedded for us. So to realize and you start having an experience of it, it's like, oh, I really took good care of myself this week. Look how, you know, everyone's doing around me. You know, my energy is contagious. You know, I'm modeling, you know, for those around me of self-care. Like there's so many positive attributes of it that it just, you know, it's one of those lies I would like to, myths, I guess, you know, lies in our culture that I would like to get rid of. I'm just going to think of some more dramatic word, but explode or whatever. That one's got to die. It just has to die.
It does. And it feels like sometimes, you know, there's this expectation and that's essentially what we're living up for, where it really should be, because, you know, to your point, it's like the give. And I think that's sometimes where we feel so empty, but we give and what's to get back. And sometimes there's this discontentment involved too. And I think that we have to be mindful of how we're giving and why we're giving. Because if we're giving, get, that's not really loving.
No. Yeah, for sure. And you said something earlier too about, is it ever enough? Like so often we can feel like we're giving and it doesn't feel like enough. And it's something I really like to support people in my coaching. And that is, you get to define what enough is, you know, whether that's setting a vision for yourself, your own goals, your own standards, based on your values, based on what matters and is important to you and how you want to, you know, design your life. That's what you measure against, right? Like, and if we can tune out culture and social media, you know, so much that's awesome, trying to give us messages of, oh, look what she's doing, I'm supposed to do it like that, or look what they're doing, and oh, I don't, you know, that sinking feeling when someone asks if I have a child, even though, you know, you can love your life, and I know women, couples who've consciously chosen decided not to have children, or tried and then couldn't, but then really made the choice, like, this is how we're going to live our life. Yeah, because there's sadness and pain in any choice that we make, right? Like, I had a point at one point actually coaching a couple who were just really living into their life as their child-free life, right? And a choice that they had made, and just hearing them and the delight and the possibilities and the things that they were doing, I let myself fully feel the regret and remorse of the choice to have children, right? Because I'm like, wow, that they take that choice has, you know, its ups and it's a tremendous amount of energy. It's a tremendous amount of your time, expense, and all of that. What else could I have birthed instead of children, right? And it felt, people were like, oh my God, I can't, you can't like say you regret having children. I'm like, I love my children, right? I love them. It has, they're so, it's so different than letting yourself feel some of the pain of any choice that we make. You know, I didn't win some award or make it across some special finish line because I was able to birth a couple of beautiful daughters, right? Like that didn't put me ahead of anyone. It was a choice that we made and we lived into that choice and it has its own positives and challenges. So that was a big awareness kind of awakening for me around some of these choices. And that's what I really want to support women to do is make discerned choices. Some people are like, well, I wasn't sure if I want a kid. So I kind of just let a time go by and then that's fine. You know, you can do that. But if you actually make it intentional choices around if I am, and you can change them down the line, but then you can fully live into whatever that choice is that you've made. Otherwise, we can doubt ourselves like, oh, you know, I missed out or I should have done this. We want to really get rid of the should have in this equation.
Yeah, so. I know you've hit on so many topics and I feel like we can spin this off in so many different angles. But one of the things I definitely want to talk about or at least highlight here that you had mentioned is it's not a regret of having children. And I want to thank you for saying that because I do not have human children. But in my friend circle, I'm always like the minority without children. I could see that through conversations, there's almost like this, they live vicariously through others as if that could have been their life. And I've done the opposite where I've vicariously lived through them and say, wow, if I had children, they could bring me so much joy and all these things, right? So it's like there's so many positives to either decision. But to your point, it's not about regret. It's just about that longing of what if you had chose door number one instead of door number two? And there's that curiosity. It's always wondering, like, did I pick the better door? Or could something have been out there better for me? And it's never to take away from your love of your own children or feel like you shouldn't have done that. And I don't ever want women to feel that way. But yes, allow yourself to feel and to explore because, you know, as children grow up and become adults, there's still that opportunity now to go live that travel-free laptop life or go on vacations and go here and go there. So now it's almost like you're getting the best of both without having to compromise. And I think with women, sometimes we feel like we have to compromise. And I disagree. I think that there's plenty to go around. And I think that our time here is limited, but I feel like we can have the best of everything of what we want should we want to choose that route. Now, of course, with women, there's a certain birthing age. And do you want to start a family later on in life? And it's not that it's ridding the option or the possibility, but there's always a choice. And I think that with women, we always have the choice of whatever we choose, but we shouldn't have any sort of regret or resentment for the choices we have made.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we might have feelings about choices at some point, letting those feelings be there when you realize like, oh, I didn't have that. And like, I feel sad, but that nets out with like what I do have. Right. And sometimes I think we avoid that because we don't want to think we made the wrong choice, like you said. Really, I think what you're saying is there are no wrong choices. It's really how intentional are we with the choices that we're making? Are we living into goals or visions that we set for ourselves? And how am I doing with that? And even that's not a beat up. We don't want to, well, I said I was going to be, you know, here by such and such date and I'm not, you know, we got to watch for that too, right? We can learn from, well, I guess I either didn't really want that or, you know, somehow I didn't intend it, but I don't have to beat myself up about it. You know, I don't have to come down hard on myself. All right. Well, do I still want that? Let's reevaluate. Let's look at how I got here with what we have and how far I did get. We set some of those milestones just to give us guardrails, you know, whichever, maybe both, just to give us checkpoints. And it's data, you know, and that data does not have to have a demeaning aspect to it or say something about who we are as people or that making any of those judgment calls that we do.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, with one choice, there's always a choice after that. And so it's never finite. There's always ways around it. Mm-hmm. And so obviously you talk at great lengths about this in your book. And I would love for you to share some more with our listeners. But more importantly, what are the mother codes and what does it mean to rewrite them as part of your Rewrite the Mother Code is your business, is your brand? So I'd love for you to share a little bit more about what that means.
Yeah. When I set out after my doctorate and when I did my doctorate, I really wanted, you know, my intention with my study was to measure and see if I could raise a woman's awareness in the transformational opportunity in motherhood, right? Like, can I shift some myths or beliefs? Do women even know that that's possible? Or is it just about, oh, you know, you're just supposed to be delighted to have had these little beings and raise them? And like you said, that's one of the codes that I write about is, you know, you have a child and they're going to give you endless joy and fulfillment, right? So these things that either through our family or our culture that get wired in, right? So cultural ones tend that are disempowering because there's things that are wired in that are beautiful from our families and our culture, right? And from the communities that we're in. So we're not talking about those, but some of the path in rewriting is making your own distinctions, right? Looking at ones, is this being curious? Is this some, okay, just because the whole world says I'm supposed to have a child, right? Or I'm not a woman. That's one of the codes that's written in us. And, you know, that somehow determines my womanness is if I give birth to a child. Like that fulfills my purpose, right? That is a cultural code that came in through, I'm going to call it overly masculine values, kind of, you know, patriarchal, where in a way that isn't healthy for us, that, you know, puts women down a couple notches, right? And that, like, this is your purpose on earth is to just do this. So it's identifying those, right? So the process is, how do I identify in my family? If I just, when I talked about noticing, you know, immediately noticing patterns in both of our parents, it's that journey, right? It's looking at, oh, okay, what was I part of every day? How was I mothered? What was my perception of motherhood through my upbringing? And explore it. Look at, what did I like? What didn't I like? What do I feel like worked? What didn't work? So that I could then create a vision for myself. I call that your mother code, like your rewritten mother code after, you know, this, however deep you want to go in this discernment, this could launch you into a whole healing process, which is what it did for me. I found it to be both super painful, messy, challenging, but so fulfilling. It really opens space for you to make choices that aren't just reactive to your parenting. Because when we don't look at some of that, then, you know, sometimes the best we can do is say, well, I know I don't want to do that, being raised this way, so I'm going to do it the exact opposite, right? But when we can muddle through that, you know, at whatever level and depth, and then, you know, I'm not saying this statement is going to say it all for you, but it's a start, right? It's a you claiming what do I want my mothering path to look like? And that's where I make a distinction between motherhood and mothering, because we all mother and we're all doing whatever mothering we're doing. Motherhood, I think, just denotes so much the raising a child aspect that I'm not perfect about it, but I kind of try and keep a little bit of a distinction. Just that journey, that exploration. And then when we can make those choices, like, oh, and guess what? Some of the codes are about things that we just so take for granted as what is true and right. I do go into a fair amount about, you know, really being curious and question hospital practices for birth, you know, if you decide to have children. Just because everyone does it a certain way doesn't mean it's, you know, when you look at statistics, 98% of births in the U.S. happen in hospitals, yet we have the highest mother and infant mortality rate of any developed country. Healthcare for mothers is the worst in our country of any developed country. I knew it wasn't great, but I didn't know until a couple of years ago that we were the worst. Like, we are. So it's things like that can open up. Let's be aware. Let's not just assume the, you know, doctors and hospitals have figured it all out, right? Like, we birth babies through midwives for thousands of years. Is this really better? And if so, how? And, you know, it's really being able to be thoughtful, go on your journey with it, and then, you know, open yourself to possibilities, right? And things that then, you know, you're not just going through the motions of something or thinking, is this all there is? That's why the subtitle of my book, so the title's Rewrite the Mother Code. The subtitle is From Sacrifice to Stardust, A Cosmic Approach to Motherhood, because I really wanted it to feel like, and it is, you know, once you go on that journey, then the possibilities are limitless. You know, like, the universe is available, right? It's depending on where your faith is or religion or spirituality, you know, this can bring you to a deep, personal, expansive space in that realm in a way that you probably might not have thought about before until you go on this journey. So that's what I'm hoping for, you know, is that we kind of bust through some of these limiting aspects of it so we can have a much more expanded experience. And that's going to be different in many ways for everyone, but at the same time, I think there's just some universal ways that we all relate and can experience it.
Absolutely. And I think that you touched upon something that I think I would say not many are willing to venture down this path, and that is that healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much pain behind it, right? There's so much experience that sometimes we don't want to opt back in to reliving that. But, you know, for us to move forward and for us to rewrite our mother code and be that mother to ourselves, we talk about the importance of checking in and checking in with our feelings, checking in with the hurt, checking in with the anger, the sadness, all the things that we've been harboring in. And I always say, whatever we hold on to will hold on to us, because it's going to hold us back from something, right? So I remember when I had to start my healing journey, it was just so daunting. I remember just metaphorically standing at this cliff, like, do I really want to just plunge right in? It's, I don't know what's down there. It could be like shards of rocks and I could die. And, you know, we can make a mountain out of a molehill just going into those dark spaces. But I think for us to really heal, it's to having that courage, and faith is a big piece of it. Again, spirituality, whatever, wherever you are in this walk, to know that there's something good that's going to come out of it. But for us to know the good, we have to overcome. And I think that with confidence builds that resiliency and that strengthens us, gives us the courage to face those dark, not so fun loving areas, but we face that with that courage to overcome our fear, and faith over Trump's, you know, fear as well. So what would you say are some of the steps to writing and starting this mother code journey?
Yeah, first step is to know that there's, to have some inkling or listen to some intuitive voice that, I may have a very decent life. Some things might be just fine, but I know there's more. There's something niggling inside of us to take a step toward the audaciousness sometimes, even when we don't have terrible circumstances, but we know it can be better. We want more. Some of it is just that first step to acknowledge that I'm worth it. I deserve to have the experience that is the most fulfilling, the most meaningful to me. But geez, you know, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get there. So, you know, you kind of have that first realization. And then, you know, from there, whether you, you know, obviously I know you support people like reaching out to someone or searching on the internet, taking some step that opens a door for you, or just that exploration and curious gives your system like, ooh, you know, we're going to keep taking steps toward my own mattering, my own desire. And I want it to feel that simple, right? Nobody has to know you're looking. You don't have to have told anyone yet that you might start on this journey, but get curious for yourself of what are all the ways and where the internet can be kind of a beautiful place to do that, right? So beyond that, then, you know, whether you see a course, whether you see a something, whether something sparks you and you go there. For me, then, you know, in this rewriting the mother code, it really comes back to, I've mentioned this a couple times, is the first thing I do when I start working with someone is looking at, okay, what's your current state? What's working? What's not working? What, you know, where are my challenges? And then start looking at, what do I want? You know, what's my desire? What's my, an ideal state? I might use the word vision a lot, right? So what's the quality of experience I want? What are the, and, you know, whether it's in a specific arena of my life or, you know, I focus a lot with people around mothering and motherhood, like what in that arena, you know, where am I now? What do I want? I work with couples, individuals, it all applies, right? And our area of life. And it's like simple, but not easy, right? Every time I give that assignment, I would say 8 times out of 10, when I come back with them, it's like, well, I didn't really work. Didn't have time.
Probably hear that a lot with women.
Oh, I don't have time. You know, I was so busy. I'm like, I know. But in that process, we get to explore blocks. We get to explore beliefs, you know, what got in the way, what is, you know, what, how am I wired? You know, what are the codes written in me to believe that I don't deserve? Like, I can't even imagine putting it out what I desire, what I want, because I might not get it, or I can't, you know, ask for that. So we go through that process, and that's how the journey begins, right? We take one step, something's revealed, we work on it. We have a success. Any success of, you know, putting two words on paper is something to celebrate, you know, in this regard. So this process of writing a vision ends up giving us all the data we need of what the blocks, what the pathways, what might my journey look like to achieve this. Along the way, we're going to build in social emotional intelligence skills. So many of us are not tuned in or have so many mistaken beliefs about our emotions as people, you know, we're, what ones are okay to have. Most of them aren't okay to have at any large degree, but we want to get reacquainted with our emotions, and that's going to guide us so much. You know, a woman I've done work with and did a coach training with her, Jill Bolte Taylor, she's a neuroanatomist, and I love her work in whole brain living, who's, you know, said, we are emotional beings that think, but that's one of the codes we need to rewire, because in our culture, we so overvalue thinking and we think emotions are going to get in the way, when the truth is we actually can't think without our emotions. It's literally physiologically impossible. You know, when people lose their emotional center, you literally cannot make a decision. It's not physically possible. So I know those were a bit general, but I'm hoping that it's what it sounds like is the invitation to just take a step, follow an urge that you have, and then keep taking the next step. And then, of course, we'll add in there, you know, any ways that you can start bringing your emotions online. I give people in an assignment always early on to, you know, 5 primary emotions to consider are fear, hurt, anger, sadness, and joy. And then at some point in your day, just review, where did I feel each one of those? Where did I have that experience with that emotion? And then, you know, that gets you kind of, it's starting to reactivate a muscle that we've let atrophy in a lot of ways. And then we can start expressing them more, because that's where our power is. Requisite variety with our emotions is so powerful. You know, it really gives us one of our superpowers that I think particularly as women, there's a way we have access to them that is more natural, just our brain physiology and some of our physiology. We just have been trained that, you know, they're not okay. So hopefully that gives you.
And a lot comes up as you're sharing that, because I think we can get so lost in somewhat of that noise that feels like in our head because we're going through so much, where it's like outwardly looking, we got a lot of things on our plates, but inwardly we also have a lot to, I guess, process and manage. And it feels like sometimes, how do we discern between which focal point? Do we focus on our external, or when to withdraw and focus on those internal things and begin to heal and move forward, or even just acknowledge? Because sometimes we gloss over something that could be really profound and meaningful, but we dismiss it because we don't think that it's important. And I know you share a lot of this inside your book. I mean, I would love for you just, you know, share a little bit more about what the book is and invite our listeners to where they can learn more about it, how they can access it and get their hands on a copy, because this is so neat. I mean, today's conversation has been quite profound, and there's so much depth through this, because I think as women, we are more complex in that sense, where we're not just simple linear human beings that are just here. We are lovers and nurturers and all the things that we talked about early on and throughout this podcast, that I never want a woman to feel like discounted or discredited and feel like she doesn't matter because of the things that she's dealing with or going through in these different chapters and seasons of transitions of life.
No, for sure. Rachel, thank you. And yeah, so we've touched on a lot of the key themes in the book around how we all mother and how do we make mothering a journey that is our own, right? And really soak the juice out of it, right? Like really have this be in whatever you're mothering. I do focus, you know, you'll see, because my journey that I bring in a lot is around my journey around my children, but not just that. So it isn't just for women who are thinking about or have children, for sure. And it's something that I really want to use as a bridge for us as women. We need each other. We need to be on each other's sides. And we need to, I believe, it's going to do just really positive things for our world when we as women see how we're more alike than different and kind of come online to support versus, you know, in a more masculine value dominate, kind of where masculine values dominate. It sets up a competition, right? And we end up judging each other. We end up trying to make ourselves feel better for our choices at the expense of other women's choices, just to feel a little better about ourselves, right? So I'm really hoping, you know, the book helps break some of those cycles and bridge, but mostly that we find that we can, you know, this is just one more window in, one more perspective in giving us permission to love ourselves, love our life, you know, mother ourselves. If anything, I'd want people to come out of this book is really getting, breaking that paradigm, just be willing to explore and be curious about other things that we don't even realize are patterns, our belief systems and our cultures that are disempowering us, and really look at what it would take to go on that journey for ourselves, and then invite them on the journey of some of this deeper work should they choose. In the book, you get to window in on what that can look like if you do decide to, but there's a lot of permission to explore it at whatever level you feel safe and comfortable with. In no way did I ever want to write a book of like acting like I know how to do it, or, you know, there's a right way to do this mothering world. I don't want that at all. I just really want us to realize that it's a sacred gift to be on this earth. This is another way that we can really live as purposefully and meaningfully as we can, and as consciously, right? And aware that we matter and everyone around us does. So the book is available all the places that you can get books, the Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, all the places that Goodreads, all the places people go to look for books, or my website. And I'd love for you to explore my website or find the links to the book there, which is www.drgertrudelyons.com, gertrudelyons.com. And just look around there. I have things about I lead self-mothering retreats, intensives, coaching. I have a podcast also that will definitely be inviting you, Rachel, to have you on my podcast. And then, you know, just find all these different ways that we can learn and grow together and experience this life at its fullest together. And that's really what I want. So I would love anybody can, and you can sign up for my newsletter on my website that gives you all the things happening in my world. I don't inundate people with it, but get on my mailing list and you can certainly find out everything that's happening regarding the book and other things that I offer.
That is wonderful. Oh my gosh. Today's conversation has been so, one of my favorites. This has been so good. And of course, you can find all the links in the show notes below. But gosh, with your book and just life-changing, because as you said, you're not putting out this book as the guru guide that says, I figured this out. And I think that one thing that comes to mind is that you're here to empower others. And that's the power that we get to give to ourselves. And so when you get to navigate on this personal journey of self-discovery and learning who you are and the way you mother and all the ins and outs of who you are, that's something that is a gift you get to give back to yourself. And now you get to empower others to do the same. So I just want to thank you for this time here with our listeners, with me, and just being my guest. But more importantly, the gift that you're giving to this world to change how we view ourselves and the way we view mothering. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. It's been a blessing to be with you.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.